This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan,
what it do?
We got one of my favorite sponsors of all time.
All right.
Okay, have you heard of Athletic Greens?
No, but you and Joe have been telling me about it because you both use it. I'm still waiting to get mine.
Yeah, it's got less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, and it supports mental clarity and alertness. Basically, I take a lot of vitamins. I've got like six, seven, you know, things of vitamins, everything I had to, take the cap off, to take them all. I take six or seven at a time, but not anymore. With Athletic Greens, you just take a packet or a scoop. It comes in packets or scoops. Put a scoop in the water, about 8 to 12 ounces of water, and you take it down. It tastes delicious. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by athletes. So basically, with one scoop of this, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Conan. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Conan, athleticgreens.com/KONAN, to take advantage and ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay, what do you take it for exactly, Joe? Because I know you like it.
It's vitamins.
Yeah, it's vitamins. I like it a lot because of the taste. I take mine in the morning, and actually what it did was, you know, I was taking a multivitamin, I was taking a probiotic for my gut, I was taking something for energy, something for sleep, whatever. that can cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to keep taking all these things. Like Disco said, he takes six different things, right? With Athletic Greens, you use your one scoop in the morning, and you're good. You can cancel out all these millions of vitamins and spending hundreds and all that. You know, some people don't like to take big, thick vitamins and pills and all that. This is a drink. It's delicious, and it takes care of everything.
Yeah, basically, Conan, it's just the simplicity of taking a multivitamin and a probiotic. Just put anything that tastes good, just drink it down right before you. I do it right before my first meal of the day, and it's great. It's perfect. It's so much more convenient.
So you just take it once a day?
Just once a day. It's all you need right before your first meal.
Yep, one scoop in water. Boom.
Yeah, and I was reading right here. It says that you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins.
And also, you know, our viewers, like we promote a lot of products on the show, and our listeners probably have different types of diets. And it's whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It works for everything.
So take care of your digestive system, your immune system, your vitamins, your minerals, all in one powder, good-tasting form. Joe and Disco have been using it. I will be using it soon and giving you my reaction on it. But if they're putting it over, obviously it's good. Check it out.
It's athleticgreens.com/KONAN.
All right, as usual, we always looking out for your wellness and your lifestyle and how you can stay healthier. And here's another example, athleticgreens.com. Boom.
Disco, let me ask you, of the guys that came in the club, obviously you talked to all of them, said what's up and all that. Did any of them mention anything about listening to the show or, hey, I love you?
No, it was too loud. They're all drinking and stuff.
Dom listens for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Next is from Miguel Lara, and the subject is UFC 276. What up, OGs? First of all, felicidades, Conan, on your AAA deal and your historical career. Mucho amor. I was watching UFC last night. What do you guys think of Izzy's Undertaker entrance? And also considering Vince and the gang were in attendance, what do you think Vince thought about Izzy's entrance? Thanks for the entertainment, y'all. And Disco, holy shit, dude. Let someone finish a sentence sometime. We're going to suspend this guy from the mailbag. He made that's
wait
a suggestion.
A minute.
Oh, yeah. And what the world really needs is a political debate between Joe and Disco versus Cornette and his jabroni co-host. Sincerely, Miguel Antonio off that Flint water. I'm not interested. I'm not going to argue politics with Cornette. He's like, he'll just cuss at me. And so, yeah, it's like, forget it. But, the Adesanya entrance was awesome. Plus, he did it so perfectly.
Right.
You know, he never broke character the entire time. He came out and he walked through the entranceway and he stood at the entrance. And like let the music play, and then when the music kicked in again, he started walking again. It was just, and he never looked up. He never And it was funny because I listened to Chael Sonnen's take on that, and he had the exact same take. He's like, you know, he did it so perfectly that if he would have like looked up or something, it would have ruined it. Like he did the entrance exactly like the Undertaker does his entrance, and never.
Bro, I mega pop for that.
Yeah, it was great.
The entrance was better than the fight. Nothing.
Yeah. It was better than the fight. Maybe that's why he did it, you know. but that was a huge pop. So he's I saw him a quote from him today that he say he's definitely going to dab into the WWE stuff at some point.
Yeah, and you remember that show that he was at, and Booker T was in. Booker T.
Yeah. Right. Maybe we can get him on the show. Who would we talk to? Call Dan Lambert, see if he knows like the connection. We can get Adesanya on the show,
or maybe Cormier could.
Yeah. Or do you know Daniel?
We had him on the show.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Super cool.
I know. Next is from HKJR, and subject is from the Sally Jesse Raphael glasses Max Dupree was wearing to Monsoir's fanny pack. Can you name a more entertaining debut in recent years? Looking forward to the reveal of the 2022 tennis wear collection next week. And I am absolutely super excited for that tennis wear collection because it's Wimbledon finals weekend,
right?
And they're going to be debuting the tennis ring. Bro, it was great. I mean, but we called this. Like Max Dupree took the minute to 2 minutes he was given on TV for like 5-6 weeks, and bro, he got out in front of the crowd, and the second he started talking, the people just booed him out of the building. So, I mean, you know, it works. So I was highly entertained by that. I thought it was great. You know, next is from Lusk Geisman. Subject is Ricochet. Billy broke the news about the members of the Maximum Male Models, which are currently Max Dupree, Mansoir, and Massé. My question for you guys is,
that's great.
Max Dupree. We have to say it correctly. It's Max Dupree. My question is for you guys.
Yeah, but I like how Mace is now Massé.
Yeah, Massé, yeah. Do you think that the WWE should turn Ricochet heel and add him to the group? Ricochet is a great wrestler, very handsome guy. When it comes to promos, he's truly in the bottom 10 of all time. With Max Dupree on the mic cutting promos for a heel Ricochet, that could really help cover up his flaws while adding a whole new level to him. Conan and Disco, what do you think? I'm not against that.
Me neither.
You know, he looks like a male model. He does look like a model, you know? He's a good-looking guy. And I can see him out there dressed like $1 million, like wearing those clothes with Max Dupree.
Yeah, sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. Next is from Matthew Ince, and the subject is Tony Khan versus MJF. I got two questions about the same topic. Do you ever think the MJF angle dies the second he returns to AEW TV? I mean, if he wants to be fired, why would he in storyline ever come back to TV? Not returning is a way to get fired. Do you see this leading to a Tony Khan versus MJF match? Tony Khan does all the press for AEW and takes all the credit for any success that AEW has, so surely the next logical step for him in this angle is that leads him to getting in the ring. Can you see this happening, or do you see Tony Khan becoming the heel character on TV and forming a faction with MJF? Hot news and the wrestling former, by the way, and more Billy with Conan and Disco, please. I don't know what's going on. This is the MJF thing's a work, okay? And I think it is. It hasn't worked, okay? Whatever they're doing with this, they need to, you know, if it wasn't a work, it's idiotic that you gave that guy a live mic on TV when you were having issues with them, just for, I don't know what the point of that was. If literally you gave the guy a live mic, didn't know what he was going to say, he buried you guys, and now you kicked him off TV.
Mm.
So that's why I would say that right there would be so idiotic that to me it has to be a work. And if it is a work, you guys got to do something here, because now the iron is already cold, you know? So it's like, I don't know. What do you think, Conan?
Yeah, I agree. I think
the obvious thing as far as explaining him back on TV would to somehow get him a world title shot. Of course, he'll want to come back to go after the title. And I've said before that I see Tony becoming an on-air, on-screen character, possibly a heel, and Conan hated that, but I still think that, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know. This kid's pretty creative. I mean, honestly, if you want to do the buzz, this has got to be like Pillman. He's going to do something fucking crazy next time he comes on TV. Like he shows up, so you know, like in the crowd or something, like or something.
Well, you remember Pillman not only wanted to do crazy shit on wrestling TV, but he wanted to do stuff on other TV. And you know this for a fact because he asked Mark Madden for his press pass to the Super Bowl. He was going to run on the field and handcuff himself to the goalpost. He ever tell you that story?
No, the Madden thing with the goalpost, absolutely.
Yeah,
he wanted Madden to give up his press pass.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So that's how crazy he was.
So that was Mark doing. He seems to be getting a lot of shit lately on Twitter.
He's doing fine.
He's got some haters.
Yeah.
Did you see him when he was in Vegas?
Yeah, we went to go see Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
Excellent.
Did he do any? Is he still not doing any Will Smith bits, or did he mention it?
I didn't really do Will Smith. No, he didn't do Will Smith. He's just good. He triggers everybody. You know, he makes fun of you know, Trump. He makes fun of Biden. He makes fun of Hillary. He makes, you know, it's just like he's, you know, makes fun of his kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's, you know, he's
so, like, one of the best.
Yeah, ouch. Definitely gonna be. I'm going to be seeing the Mets play the Braves on Monday.
Oh, nice!
But I might be going to the game Saturday too. But I'm definitely going on Monday.
Who's the guy that he pitched for the Nationals? Now he pitches for the Mets. He's supposed to be super like serious.
Max Scherzer.
Is he coming back yet?
Not yet. Okay. Still hurt.
I want to go.
But DeGrom's coming back soon.
I want to go see him pitch Scherzer. But I think the Mets are only in Philadelphia one more time this season.
I think the Phillies are still in the hunt for the wild card. Yeah, the Phillies are one game back of the wild card. Oh, wow, that's okay. Crazy. Oh, my God, and the Braves passed the Padres. Wow.
Mm.
That's crazy. Oh, because the Padres are in a losing streak. Yeah, the Padres, yeah, that's crazy. The wild cards, like a little while ago, were San Diego, St. Louis, and the Giants. Now it's the Braves, San Diego, St. Louis, and the Giants are like – way back now, like two games, you know, they were in the lead for the wild card. So.
It says Harper vows to return this season, but gives no timetable.
Hey, next one's from Kevin Gilroy, Kevin Gilroy. Yes. First of all, it's from Tony Khan Hugs. First of all, as a longtime YouTube subscriber, I've seen how people drag QG, Joe, Disco, and especially Billy. Yet whenever they clap back and bury them, they snowflake out and run crying to Conan. No podcast is safe from bitch made marks. As a non-AEW hater, I got to ask you guys about Tony Khan hugging the wrestlers at the media scrums. Legit question. How long do you think it's going to take before he gets hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit? Jeez. Go research Pixar creator John Lasseter. He got done from Disney from unwarranted hugs. Cesaro's even pushing him away. How long until Konichan tries to move him for a kiss along with that hug? He makes his wrestlers look like complete assholes and it becomes a meme. And really, guys, what do you think in general about Tony Khan hugging wrestlers like that anyway? I'm not a fan of it, obviously. And I don't think he shouldn't be doing that. You know, it's just, but it's like people are going to like just constantly look at you as like a big mark if you do stuff like that. That's just the perception's reality.
Right.
You know, and like he does stuff like that. And it's just, you know, bro, what do you think people are going to say? You know, what do you think, Conan?
I don't know. The thing about Tony is that he is a quirky, energetic, happy, you know, guy like that. Like that's him, you know,
right.
And he probably doesn't see anything wrong with it, but that's not a good look.
No, has he ever gone for the big Conan hug?
No.
Do you guys shake hands when you meet?
I think we just fist bump. Yo, what's up?
Oh, you do? Oh.
No.
Let me ask you a question. When you go to AEW, give me like a couple, like, can you tell there's a couple guys there that don't like you?
Yeah.
Who would you, can you, would you want to reveal them on the show?
I don't think Miro's too happy with me. I don't think.
How come?
So he's buried his wife.
Do you really? I met the bro. They were in the club one night, him and his wife. They were cool.
She's not a good worker. I mean, you know, let's be real.
Yeah, but she's
hot as fuck.
Yeah, right.
And I thought when she was doing the Russian gimmick, there was nobody hotter than her.
Right. Yeah, they really took away what like they had a good marketing gimmick there with her. And for some weird reason, they just stripped that all away and just had her doing like just weird stuff. You know, she should have just stayed as the ballet
she was, like,
of Dolph
Ziggler's girlfriend. How brutal was that?
Yeah, and then she was Bobby Lashley. You know,
yeah,
it's
that
like,
was
come
brutal.
On. It's like, yeah, brutal. You know, I don't know. Next is from Armando Ramirez, and the subject is stars. What's happening, fellas, in disco? I just finished listening to the whole disco Keith Lee thing you guys posted, and it got me thinking. Often you hear the criticisms over the lack of stars from yourselves and other wrestlers, media, etc. And I want to ask you guys, at what point do you and we stop blaming the talent and start blaming management? We've seen so many would-be stars fade away due to poor booking, in my opinion. Guys like Lee, Andrade, Cross, and many, many more. There's no denying the level of talent back in your time. But one thing that you guys had that is missing now is better booking storytelling. I think with better booking, we might have seen the next scene of the next awesome but by now, but we might have missed it due to mismanagement. What do you guys think? I mean, it's if you've listened to our podcast for the past 6 years, like we talk about this every single week, you know? I mean, there's formulas that aren't being adhered to build stars, you know? And then they just like mainly the 50-50 booking over the years is you're never going to have anybody rise up out of that, you know?
And the other thing is that one big difference between when you say it's all on creative, it's also the onus is also on the wrestler. Because what I have seen a lot of is in today's world where wrestlers are very generously compared to before, and a lot of people don't want to lose that paycheck because they ain't going to make nowhere else. Very few people are going to make big money in both companies. It's a select few. So everybody else wants to make sure they get paid because they never know when they're going to see a payday like this again, and they don't make any waves. And in our day, bro, if you weren't getting pushed, you were making waves. And you made yourself be known, and you made sure that they used you. I mean, it was just a different mindset. Yeah. Everybody was in getting along to get along, and hey, we're all happy to be here. It was very competitive, very competitive.
Next is from World Champ John Roberts, and the subject is Rock and Roll Express. Thank you for answering my question about the Midnight Express. Have you ever worked at the Rock and Roll Express? Is it true what Jericho said in his book that they're the king of the gimmicks? Also, I believe the teams of today cannot touch the rivalry of the Rock and Roll and Midnight's thoughts. That's from World Champ John Roberts. The Midnight Express, you know, let me ask you guys a question. If we're going to go in like the Mount Rushmore of tag teams in the history of professional wrestling, who would you have up there, Conan? And you can include Lucha Libre guys too if you want.
Jack and Jerry Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
Terry and Dory Funk.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Guerrero. And Love Machine.
Right.
The Midnight Express.
Yes, Midnight Express.
Don't worry.
And the Rock and Roll Express, maybe?
Well, that's fine. Yeah, but that's the I would say Midnight's and Rock and Roll. God, there's so many.
Yeah, Hardy's.
You know, like
New
Hard
Age Outlaws.
I mean, we didn't even go in WWE.
Heart Foundation.
You know,
Road Warriors,
Steiner Brothers. I mean, there's just like, you know, and bro, I want to get back to this thing because we'd put the clip on YouTube. And, you know, we're talking like FTR wants their legacy to be the greatest tag team of all time, right? And it's like, dude, you have to, like, have on your resume hot angles that drew with other hot tag teams. You know what I'm saying? Like the Midnight's of the Mid. Like I would say the Midnight Express is probably at the top of the chart for tag teams in history because they had so many iconic angles with so many iconic tag teams. You know, they did weeks of TV with the Road Warriors, weeks of TV with the Steiner Brothers, weeks of TV with Rock and Roll and the Fantastics and stuff. You know, they're just, I don't know. It's just like you they have a lot of memorable moments. And it wasn't just the matches. It was the angles and Cornette's promos and stuff. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's like you got to be, you know, yeah, but Midnight's great and Rock and Roll's great. Honestly, the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express angle, it's like it's one forever. And every time they get together in a territory, they end up fighting each other. You know, and they go, they disappear, they go to another territory, and they come again to another territory, they fight each other. You know, it was always great stuff. So, I don't know. Who was Eddie and Art's biggest rivals?
Who's?
Eddie and Art.
Eddie and Art, Santo and Octagon.
Santo, like, because they had that big match in L.A.,
yeah,
right? And that was like, so that those were like eight, those were the top of the food chain tag teams at the time, right?
Right.
Yeah. How long did they do? How many weeks of TV did those guys have against each other? Like, were there, like, how long was their angle?
I don't remember exactly, but it was pretty long. Like, right. we always let angles marinate, and I think the best angles are the ones that you marinate, mm-hmm. but not too long.
Right. Next is from Aj Grukat, and the subject is AEW Media Slums, I mean Scrums. Greetings from across the pond. I felt compelled to email you for opinions on the AEW Media Scrums. I began watching WWF in 1989 when Sky TV kicked off over here, and I continued to do so till Lesnar beat Taker at WrestleMania to end the streak. I decided that was it for me. I picked you guys up from WCW on TNT around September of 98 till you went out of business in 01. So I'd say I've spanned a good kaleidoscope of wrestling down the years, right through to listening to your great podcast, present day. Unequivocally, these AEW scrums were, without a shadow of a doubt, the most effing embarrassing piece of garbage I've ever had the misfortune to hear connected to wrestling. What's your take on them? As performers who've seen massive highs, literally with Conan, and low lows, I apologize for taking the long way around here, but I did feel it's relevant. Edge, 188 days without a disco ban from Telford. Oh, interesting. So this guy says it's been 188 days since he's been
just
banned.
Got a countdown going.
Yeah. Should I?
No,
bringing
I like that
up. Yeah, we'll let it slide. The media scrums are pathetic. They're just the dirt sheet fanboys giving Tony softballs so they'll like him and they'll let him keep doing the scrums. There's only one guy, bro, like that. Like I was listening to Cornette. I guess this guy Nick Hausman from Wrestle Inc. Or so, what's he from, Joe? Nick Hausman. Is he from Wrestle Zone?
I think he's from
Chicago.
I think he's from Wrestle Zone.
Okay, Wrestle Zone.
Yeah, he used to go a lot to Impact.
He's the only one that asks tough questions.
Right.
Like, literally the only one. You know, he was asking about to Tony about MJF. And then Tony said, I'm sorry, right now, I'm just not going to answer that. So it's like, you know, all right, I would keep following up with it, you know? And that's what, brother, some media is supposed to, like, you know, if you've got some uncomfortable things that you don't want to talk about, that's what they're supposed to hit you with. Not like, you know, congratulations on your, you know, bro, they'll have, like, FTRs, like, hey, congratulations on your match. Yeah, and hey, thanks, guy. You know, and then they'll ask him some stupid question like, what is it like working with so and so? You know, I'm like, good grief, you know. Let me see who the next one is. We're moving right along here. Not a lot of interesting questions in the mailbag this week, too, by the way. I'm not a big fan of this week's stuff. Next one's from Pinga Dulce.
Wait a minute.
You always pop on that. The subject is Feeny. Fellas, does Joe have a man crush on Jericho? When AEW was in Philly, did Joe sing Judas with the other freaks? And this is Pinga.
I didn't sing Judas because I don't think either time that I went to AEW, they played it. He didn't come out the first time I went. The second time I went, I think he's a heel already, so that's when they started.
He's got a double man crush. One is Jericho and the other one's Raven. Go ahead.
Yeah. That could be.
And he likes Frankie, too, a little bit.
Yeah, Frankie's very handsome.
Next is some Woven. And the subject is other dangerous countries you visited. Hey, K-Crew, got a question for Conan. Love your Mexico stories, particularly run-ins with the narcos. Are there other countries you visited that offered a similar experience? Guatemala, Colombia, Middle East? Thanks, as always. That's from Mark Rosales.
What was the question?
Are there other countries you visited that offered a similar experience, like with the narcos and stuff like that? So he's asking Guatemala, Colombia, the Middle East?
Well, cartel violence, Colombia, yeah.
So you've been, did AAA... work out like did you guys work any Central American countries?
Yeah,
you just stuck them in.
We went to Bogota about 3 years ago. What a beautiful, beautiful place! I thought it was like scummy, like Guatemala or Honduras.
Because you hear about the drug, like an old dirty drug. You know,
yeah,
like,
no,
like,
it's really nice. It's like
they got
Chile.
Hot girls, beautiful
like when
girls.
I went to, very hot. And when I went to Chile, I thought, oh, this is probably going to be some third world. You know, no, it's really nice. It was very European, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Central America is the one that's really fucked up.
There's another follow-up question here, kind of similar, from Urbano Solis. Subject is Triple Mania 30. Hello, gentlemen. Following question is for Conan. Tijuana is crazy right now with cartel violence. Did you have to ask for some kind of permission from anyone to have Triple Mania there? And is the Arellano Felix cartel still running Tijuana? Thank you. Interesting questions. Do you know the answers to these?
Well, obviously, in Tijuana, we know everybody you need to know to run events. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave that at that.
Okay.
And Felix Arellano still does run here, but he's in a big fight with Chapo's sons, the Sinaloa cartel.
Oh, so is that where the violence is?
Yeah.
But the two factions, that's what, wow. Wait, so Chapo, what's the guy? So didn't Chapo's wife get arrested too, right?
Yep.
So who's running the Chapo?
His sons.
Oh, his sons are. And they're feuding with the Felix cartel.
Right.
Interesting. I'm going to start. You know what I want to do? I'm gonna get a rabbit hole. I'm going to go look at some clips on YouTube and read some stories on this. And maybe we'll talk about the
all right.
What's
it's
going on.
It's fascinating, bro.
Yeah. Okay, next is from why does it say from Joseph Joe? Forwarded this.
Yeah, the guy sent it to my email, so I sent it to the K100 email.
Next is from Michael Smith. Question for the show. This is an interesting question. Hey, crew. Questions for K Dog. Sean Ross Sapp is reporting there's heat between Santana and Ortiz. Just wonder if you have any insight to that, or is it speculating reporting that all wrestling media does? Ross is also reporting Santana isn't going to renew his contract. Do you have any insight to this?
Yes, they are not on good terms.
Really?
Oh, that's
yes.
Bad.
That is interesting. Hmm.
And I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what Sean knows or has been told, but I was speculating that myself because not too long ago Santana put up the amount of days he has left in his contract on Twitter, like a countdown. You know, so that was a clue.
Yeah. So this is an interesting one. This one is from you know what this count is called, Conan?
No.
This is from Jews for Conan. That's his email address, Jews for Conan. The subject is Trish Stratus. Fellas, have any of you ever met Trish Stratus? What is your opinion of her work? Some Jews, that's from JFK, Jews for Conan. this is hysterical, okay? I guess Trish Stratus came to Toronto with Tori Wilson for that show we did in Toronto, right? And that was a show where Kevin Sullivan got all messed up backstage, and
oh, yeah.
I think it was the show where Goldberg did the thing with the, you know, Brett did the thing with
yes.
the metal plays. It's just very busy, right? But I'm pretty sure if I have the story correct, that Trish Stratus, like I guess they were bringing her in, they might have used her or something, and Terry Taylor sexually harassed her backstage. I guess it was a story I had heard about that. So it's like
doesn't not surprise
filthy,
me.
He was the original filthy animal.
Yeah.
Okay. Terry Taylor was absolutely the original filthy animal. So, but yeah, that does absolutely not surprising at all.
This is so funny because back then when we used to go out and party with her, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What? How come you don't hook me up with any of your friends?" And she goes, "Oh, I have a friend that I'm trying to get into wrestling." And she showed me a picture of Trish, and I was like, "All right, well, when next time she comes, introduce me."
Well, she was a famous fitness model at the
time.
Right.
You know,
they both were. Let me ask you guys this: you know, piggybacking off that, if Terry Taylor has this reputation, and you know, there's been many stories about it in the wrestling media and stuff like that. How does he continuously stay employed with different companies, including WWE now?
Because nobody's really come out and pointed him out. Like the Me Too thing, he escaped scot-free.
Yeah.
And this is another thing too. Okay, he's got that job that nobody really wants. His job was the stooge, the office stooge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's very difficult finding that finding people in the business to be the office stooge is just difficult. But here's the thing with Terry, he was very intelligent. And, like, the people that would run the show like to have this guy that, you know, we'd talk a lot, you know, and Terry would make a lot of sense a lot of times. You know, he was just one of those guys that was not dumb. You know, he knew his shit. He knew how to work. He knew how to lay out a match. He knew, you know, but he just was a horn dog.
Mm.
You know, so it's like, you know, it really is fascinating. Because, like, and back then the culture in wrestling wasn't, like, the HR was a big deal. We did so many things that you would not be able to do today. because of HR and people getting offended and stuff. But Terry was just lucky enough to be in that culture. And then, you know, and I think that there was kind of a very, a lot of sympathy for him when he lost his wife. And he toned down, you know, when afterward, and he just basically kept his job, you know, like all of his past sins were kind of like forgiven, I guess. And he's just, he's maintained a good working relationship with that company for years, you know? So you got any comment on that, Conan?
Yeah, no, I would agree with what you said.
Yeah. Next is from Sean Richard, and the subject is Disco WWE. Hey guys, love the show, longtime listener. Question is, when WWE was bought out by Vince, is there a reason why Vince never picked up Disco? Glenn, have you ever had a tryout dark match with them? If so, who or what happened? Can you tell us any WWE stories with you? I think you would have fit in WWE perfectly, and that's Sean Richard from New Orleans. Number one, when WCW went out of business, okay, I had been on the booking team for like 9 months, and they'd take me off for the last 6 weeks, right? And when we went out of business, I had a couple conversations with Johnny Ace, but I was just starting a quarter of my highest paying contract, $350,000 a year. And it just started, literally a few days before it went out of business. So I could have either given up that money, okay, or I could have given up the money and signed with WWE, or I could just ride it out. And Nash was riding it out. Borash didn't go back. You know, I had a bunch of friends that were like, they weren't going to WWE. And I was like, I'm just going to take this money. I was going to be making like 80 grand for like 3 months or something, whatever it was, or 85 grand or something. I'm like, why, you know, I'm fine. And then I started working with Andrew McManus, you know, working in Australia and overseas. He was paying us good money, you know? So it was like, I just started doing a different thing. And it was just like it was fun at the time, but like in retrospect, I probably should have gone to WWE, you know? So, but
there was for the people who haven't heard this story yet, there was a moment too where you helped Triple H rehab his injury. You went in and worked in the ring with him.
Yeah, me and Nash were like, that's when Nash went back in the ring for Hunter and showed him he could still move around. Mm-hmm. You know, so then Nash ended up going back. So
yeah.
Next, another one from some Gondo Chanka. So we're gonna suspend him from the mailbag for a week. Write that down. Subject is developing Riddle in the main event. Good evening, guys. Whatever time it is when you read this. Hope you're all doing good. Joe, please show this to Disco and Conan. Oh, so Money in the Bank workout? Oh, whatever. Okay, all right.
You don't want to see it?
No. Question. With Riddle being positioned as a top full-time babyface in the company currently and how he's getting over, what do you think about doing Riddle versus Goldberg? I've heard they squash your beef and it's become valuable enough that it can help both guys. It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea, you know? I would do it because they had legit heat. I would, you know, there'd be a buzz about it. Yep. What do you think, Conan?
But I mean, you'd have to think logically that Riddle would have to go over, and is that something that Bill would be interested in?
They pay him a fortune to come work. I don't think he cares about the finishes, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, I mean, not now.
Yeah.
I mean, he cared about the finishes 20-something years ago. You know, now he just cares about the money.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Glenn, he understands Riddle's being propped as a next big star. It ain't just anybody.
Yeah.